appreciate your prayers again tonight. I'd like to look into the subject of trouble. You ever have any trouble? Well, if you don't have any trouble, you probably should be up here instead of me telling us how you do it. Scripture over in Job 14:1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And I think we could probably say human, because I don't think that's gender specific here. Humans born of woman, I think there's a expression that takes us all in. There's no reason, I don't think, to try to think there's a system that we don't have trouble, because it's trouble is as common to man as breathing is. Because I found the nature of us is that it will seem to find trouble. It's relative. You can have big troubles, and when you're not having big troubles, you're making big troubles of little troubles. You're exaggerating, because there seems to always have to be a trouble. It seems like that everything that there's trouble, and I seem like I deal better with big troubles a lot of times than I do with a lot of aggravating little troubles. But there's always troubles. Man born of woman is a few days. We understand that. Life getting right along with it. Don't have a lot of days. And they're full of trouble. Troubles everywhere. All kinds of troubles. Major troubles, little troubles. I get these different machines and different things, refrigerators, stuff. We have all those, and they'll quit looking, and I'll go to the manual, and they'll have a section in there. It says troubleshooting. Yes. And it's made to list the main parts of what normally goes wrong, so that you can quickly get to the root of your trouble. Say, I'm having this trouble, or I'm having this trouble, and I can get to it and get my trouble worked out. Well, life is full of troubles. They're for a reason. They really are for a reason. This is God's world. Man fell, and there's no perfect place now because of the fall of man. I'd like to think that heaven is a place of no trouble. It can't be like here full of trouble. There's a reason that there's trouble here, because of man. Man is trouble himself. He makes trouble for himself. There is trouble, but it's still God's world. God is able to use trouble. God is able to use trouble. And if it's one thing that trouble says to me, trouble always tells me that I'm not in control. No matter what I'm working with, no matter how I start to feel about myself in it, trouble will come along and change my mind about it. Trouble is always there before me, showing me just how much I lack. A friend one time started bringing me he worked at a place and they made flooring. And so they had these dry kiln calls for flooring. It was all oak. And they would call them, and there was great stacks of them, and he would bring them to me for firewood, bring them by the truckloads. And all I needed to do was cut them in lengths, and it was kind of cumbersome trying to cut a small thing with a chainsaw, trying to get it to where you could hold it and all that. So I had an old table there, or an old chest of drawers or something, but it was something like that, and I had an old circle saw, and I got the idea I'm going to put that circle saw slide it into a groove in there, and I built it and put it in there until I could adjust the blade up and down and made it till I could just run that wood through the zing zing and cut it in lengths So I got it all put together and had me a switch to turn it on and worked real good. And be honest with you, I was feeling real good about myself. I was thinking, you know, that's a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good plan. And not only that, it worked. I mean, I turned it on, I got that, and it did. So I went in and told my wife, you got to see this. I want you to see this. So I come out there, and she's got the baby there holding it like this, and she's just 10, 12 feet away, and said, honey, you got to see this. Well, I had a square piece of, it's 3/4 inch plywood there, and I said, what's this? But I turned it on, and I couldn't see which way the blade was running. And you've got to push the wood into the blades. Now, anybody that's done this knows that it's got to go into the blade. The blade should have been coming back towards me. Well, it looked like it was. And my wife's right there with the baby. And I said, watch this, honey. And when I stuck it in there, it grabbed it as fast as it could think. And it went flying. It looked to me like 90 miles an hour. And it hit the post right beside her and the baby. And my heart sunk as soon as it did. I just about killed them. I went from just total exuberance. I had done something here to feeling so incapable. I said, Lord, thank you for protecting them in my ignorance, in my littleness, in my feebleness of mind, in my trouble. You think you're a great driver? You find out you're not. You think you're a great builder and don't make any, you'll find you do things. Trouble will prove it to you. Trouble will prove it to you. Another time I was way back in the woods and I feel like I'm a very cautious person for everything that I know about cutting trees down, cutting firewood. I was back getting firewood. As by myself, I was back here enjoying the day, and I had a tree that I was going to cut down. It was just a dead tree, so I looked around. It all seemed safe. I cut it in a safe way, but I didn't judge where it was going to fall and how it was going to fall. And there was an embankment that I didn't take in consideration, so I laid the tree down, and I stepped back just a little bit to watch it go, and everything went smooth until it teetered over the top of that. And when it did, the upper end of it went slinging down over, and the bottom end come right up by me. It would have took my head completely off had it hit it. And immediately I said, with all my caution, precaution, all my care, all my knowledge, all my understanding of doing this for years, I just about killed myself. And I said, thank God. It's still your world. So when you think of trouble, we don't like it. We don't want it. I don't think. Anybody would say, give me a truckload of trouble. But we want to explore the idea of trouble tonight because there is an aspect of it is to the saint of God, to God's people, that it isn't like it's carried out into the world. There can actually be something valuable that God uses in the idea of trouble. If you would look with me in the 107th Psalm. I'm going to start with the 23rd verse. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and riseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. The writer here is writing about those old ancient ships. Wooden, ancient, think of this. Them old ancient wooden crafts, those ships that they built. No doubt, even then, they was masters of building these ships. But these weren't modern ships of steel. These were much smaller, wooden, put together with wooden, put together with peg, put together as best they could put them together, but they weren't modern steel ships by any means. During World War II, in the South Pacific, a typhoon came up and destroyed several ships of the American fleet. Modern steel ships. That typhoon arose and destroyed the ships. That's how powerful this trouble he's talking about really is. And he says that of these ships, and when he said they go up to heaven, what he's talking about is that those ships are lifted up on magnificent waves. If you could think of the terror of being on an ocean, it's fearful enough by itself because of its vastness, its largeness. It's beyond our comprehension what's under it, what's it going to do, how's it going to respond. The word trouble in the English means to stir or to whirl or a whirlwind or a whirlpool. It's a stirring. We get the concept, I think, right off in our mind. You're doing something and all of a sudden it becomes chaotic. You can't get both ends together. You can't accomplish what you set out to accomplish. It's called trouble. That's what happens, and he's given a perfect illustration of it here in this reading. The great ships that they built, men put much mind power and skill and labor. Great carpenters and craftsmen put these ships. They weren't just thrown together. It's too important. It's life's business here. And they built them according to their knowledge, and they set them out upon the sea, and the Lord commandeth, and it stirs a great trouble. And to imagine being in a craft like that with a storm, lightning, thunder, rain whipping down, the seas roaring, and great waves that these things would get to the top of and be valleys of water below. You imagine the ride of that ship up and down. The terror of it is what they are expressing here. It goes on and says, they mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. They're so mounted because of trouble. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not talking about the fact that I lost one of my socks. Or that something happened, I broke a bolt off of working on something. This is talking about troubles that agonize the soul. The deep stirring of trouble. This trouble that comes that you ever been in the place that you don't know what you're going to do? You're tormented of the ride that this thing's giving you. It's called life. It's called life. And right when you think you've got it made, trouble comes. The stirring, the whirling comes. And you say, I thought I had it all together. Have you ever been just plain blindsided? You had no idea. And all of a sudden you get completely blindsided by the events of life. I'm ready to go to bed. I remember I was up for about two nights in a row, just slept very little. And I thought everything was so peaceful this night. And I thought, I am so ready to go to bed. This is going to be nice. Time was a ticking right on. It's about 10 o'clock. Children are asleep. Just about time to go to bed. And just like that, 10 o'clock, one of my children just been playing. Everything was fine. Comes through the living room. Throws up in the floor. Oh, what was this? Well, those happen with children. Go over. She's fevered, hot, real hot, fevered, and guess who was up holding her all night long, pacing the floor. Totally blindsided, weary, longing, don't know what to do, praying, doing it. Lord, I got blindsided with the trouble. The soul mounted because of trouble. They reel to and fro. and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Now, that term wit's end, you probably heard it before. I've used it myself. But of just recent, I even thought about it. What's that mean, at wit's end? You got a wit? Wisdom? You got an understanding of something? It means it run out. All that I could do, all that I thought I could accomplish, all the wisdom that got me through the things that I've done in life, is over. They don't mean nothing. They don't work. Now let's look at the scenario. Great ship is out on the sea. The typhoon comes up. They're riding the sea. They built this ship to withstand it. They built sails to pull the wind, to push it. They've got the mast. They got the rudder to steer it. They got a captain that knows the sea. And it all comes to naught. In the middle of the storm, he's not smart enough. He's not strong enough. The rudder isn't big enough, deep enough. The winds would only destroy the ship and break it in half. You can't, they got to pull the sails down. You can't put the sails up. If you go to the deeper sea, or if you go to the rocks, you have no choice. And he says, they come to wit's end. They stagger back and forth at the control of fate, at the control of circumstance, and they're at their wit's end and can't do a thing about it. It's called trouble. In exact wording, it means trouble. The great trouble had come upon them, the stirring. The winds, the swirling of life. It had come upon them, and now they're there with all that they ever thought that they had, and they're left destitute. Drunken. Like a drunk. To and fro the ship goes, and no rudder, no winds could do it. Nothing could happen. And then listen to the word. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. Now, if you really want to know what trouble is to the saint of God, you just heard it. It is to bring us to a close relationship with the Lord. Do you know that you can talk to the Lord about your little troubles? And he'll hear you. And you can talk to him about your big troubles. And he'll hear you. Now, this is my testimony. You heard it in this meeting already, but it fits because I use the words to the Lord. Lord, I'm at my wit's end. All the understandings, my wisdom's run out. Everything that I tried to do to buffer myself in my emotions, to buffer myself in my strengths, to be able to go on, I've done, and it's come. And now the storm's raging too much, and troubles overtook me. And Lord, I don't know how to get myself out of my trouble. I don't think I created my trouble. Circumstances and life, living life made troubles come down on me. But I'm going to tell you, it caused me at that time to know that I am totally void. I need something bigger than me. I need something so much more than I could ever be. When I can be it, I try to be it. And you do too. But when you come to this kind of place, you'll find out that there's nothing of you that can do it. There is places that only God, folks, listen, there's places that only God can fix. And we get to our wit's end, and I cried, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. End of the rope. Lord, you've got to help me. And he did. Why didn't he do it yesterday? Why didn't he do it last week? Because I had always reserved. I still had some wit. But when I got to wit's end, there's where I cried upon the Lord. One that I wasn't praying, asking the Lord to help me and all those things. But I know in my soul the difference between the way I cried then in the way I was crying before. I cried out of total desperation of the storm that was about to swallow me up. And I was totally void of any way of trying to steer that thing out. You know, that's not really a detriment to us, folks. Lord, help us to get a hold of something here. It's not really a bad thing. It can be turned to our good. Because this says, in their trouble, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm to calm, so that the waves are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. See the full picture? Of that sea that come up, them things will last 2-3 days sometimes. They cried unto the Lord, and in my mind there was one that arose and said, "Peace, be still." And it was still. A sea of glass, but with a wind, because they were so dependent upon the wind. And in my mind, there was a haven? To their desired goal, to their desired haven. He calmed it, but gave them strength, a breeze. So now they're not saying, "We're great mariners. We have a ship and the capability of building ships that will withstand the storms." They knew better. They didn't say, we're great mariners and we know how to ride this storm out. We knew when to drop anchor and when to pull it. We knew when to put our mast down and when not to. They knew how to perish and they knew it. And they knew God had brought them out. They knew it. I'm going to tell you, this brings testimony to the services. This brings a glory to God because of trouble. Because of trouble. It's not without trouble in the sunshine and everything going right that God's glorified. That we're brought closer to God. It's trouble. It's what? A few days and full of trouble. Now, I believe that God wants to help us with all of our trouble. Trouble is a part of this world because of sin. And I believe God wants to help us in all of our trouble. Brother Jim White at home was a real testimony of looking to the Lord with everything of his life. He testified to us many times. If he loses his key, Brother Jim really believed that the Lord could help you find your keys. He believed that. He came out of the Walmart one time and he didn't know where his car was at. But Brother Jim he believed God could help him find his car. No matter where Brother Jim needed, that trouble brought to him. If a neighbor was being in a way that he shouldn't, Brother Jim believed the Lord could help him with his neighbor. But Jim believed that the Lord could help in all trouble. And I'll say this, that's what the Lord did. The Lord helped in all of these trouble. He'd come and say, "Pray." Oh, he said, "Pray for me, I'm getting old, I can't remember, and I lost my checkbook again." He lost his checkbook a lot of times. He testified to us one night, he said he was sitting in a chair and he was thinking about that. And he said, "Lord, you know where my checkbook's at." And the Lord said, "It's down in the chair." That's what he said. He said, "It's down in the chair." And he reached down in that chair and pulled out his checkbook. He said, "The Lord knew where my checkbook's at, and he can tell me where it's at too." The Lord wants to help us, but what was the... It was trouble. It was trouble that brought it. Everything don't go right. But I want to tell you something. The devil will take advantage of us in trouble. He'll make us miserable. He'll make our spirit blame God. Have you ever felt trouble that way? And you felt like, "Well, Lord, why are you..." Now, that's the devil talking. Devil talks like that. Why are you allowing all this? I remember repenting one time. I was underneath my house and I was putting in a new bathroom on one side and the sewer was on the other side, and I had to put the sewer line in under, all the way in under the house and connect it with the other line, and there was no crawl space. So I had to go actually get in under and make one. I had to shovel my way through in under and make a crawl space. And I had to line it straight. That's kind of difficult. And I was under there trying to put a couple joints of pipe together, and they just wouldn't go. Oh, trouble. Trouble. Wouldn't go. And I remember, you know what claustrophobic feels like? I'm not really that way, but trying to get that pipe on there and being tightened up, trying to get your hand, getting that in there, hardly no room. I started getting this, you know, a tensed up feeling, too tight, get me out of here, trying to get that pipe together, and it wouldn't go together. And I kept trying and trying, and it was an easy job made hard, and I couldn't get it, and trouble, just trouble. And I ended up saying, Lord, if you was trying to put this pipe together, and I could help you, I would. I'd help you if you was in this situation. You know, I had a bad attitude. And I kind of said, Lord, I'm sorry. You're God. You're God. And when it's right for it to go on and you make it help me with it, Lord, you're God. If you ain't helped me, it's because of a reason. You're God, I'm not. Life is life. And God's still God. And troubles will happen. And there are perfect design for us. Folks, they're like fertilizer to a plant. Troubles, I know we look at it and say, I don't want no troubles. And listen, I ain't preaching above myself. I don't like troubles. I'll get out of all trouble I can. But I do want to take advantage of what the Lord gives me in life. And the troubles that I have to face really can be a stepping stone to a better, higher level. When people are looking on the saints to see what kind of people they are, it's not when the sun is shining that they really see. It's when they're in trouble. How are you going to respond when trouble comes? All right, I'm going to look at a scripture. In Proverbs, to get the wits in, 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thine own understanding. It looks to me like that this trouble is not going to do me a bit of good. It looks to me like I could do something and get out of this trouble. But lean not to your own understanding, but trust the Lord. God has sent trouble to the salvation of people sometimes. God has sent trouble that if you hang on, it was exactly what you should have had in your life that you can say, thank the Lord. And a brother in our congregation said that he was going along one morning and he was late getting to work and he got behind somebody a-piddling. And he said he just was anxious and he was frustrated. Would they get out of the way? And he said, just not too far up the road, there was a bad accident. And when he got there, they said it had just happened at the time. And he figured, I just come so many miles. Boy, I'd have been really close to that situation. We don't know. But it was trouble. It seems to be trouble. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. 2 Corinthians. Fourth chapter. Fifth verse says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Not of my own wit, not of my own thinking, not of my own ways. And we're troubled on every side. But it don't matter, because we got this treasure in earthen vessels. This is going to prove the treasures in the earthen vessels, because we're troubled on every side. His allusion here, I believe, is to the old games he used. Paul used it a number of times. And this was probably talking about a wrestler. The attack can come from any direction. When you're wrestling, you've got to stay right on the end of your foe, because he'll come at you from any way. We're troubled on every side. Attack from every direction. It'll be this. I'll have trouble with family. I'll have trouble with neighbors. I'll have trouble with this. It can come from this area. It can come from that. It can come from within, or it can come without. I'm troubled from beneath, from above. I'm troubled from it all. It's trouble. It's called trouble. I got arthritis in my foot, and it hurts. It's called trouble. I got out the other day. I don't have hair on my head. And my head sunburned. And it hurt. And it hinders sometimes when I'm out. Oh, no, I didn't put a hat on. It's burned. It's called trouble. All kind of trouble. From beneath, from above, from one side or the other. We fight insects. We fight diseases. We fight, oh, man, it's from every side. We fight against this. But what's the purpose? That we might prove that there's a treasure in earthen vessels. That we might prove that God is real. And how does the world face their troubles? Well, the Lord told us not to be anxious. Take no thought, no anxious, worrisome thought for tomorrow. You'll have enough trouble for tomorrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You can have enough trouble. You don't have to borrow trouble from tomorrow for today. You'll get enough trouble. You'll get enough trouble to prove God today. You won't have to borrow tomorrow's trouble. Don't worry. What's he saying? Don't worry. You got enough trouble to prove God. We're troubled, he said, on every side. Yet not distressed. It isn't getting to me. I've got an experience with God. And yeah, I see the troubles coming. For every trouble, God's got a blessing hooked to it. I'm going to tell you what I found out the Lord really blessed me with. I come home from a meeting in middle of January one time. And Lord help me. But I was really concerned about things freezing up at my house. So I was really particular about doing all these setting this heater and all this stuff. And so I did. And I was real meticulous about it. But forgot to turn it on. I made sure everything, I plugged, made sure it was plugged in and made everything, and I forgot to turn the heater on. So when I come home and I walked into what should have been a warm room, there was icicles hanging from stuff in there. Well, there shouldn't have been icicles hanging from stuff in there either. So anyway, we got home and trouble. Come home from a trip and you come home, what you want is a warm house, a warm bed, a shower, the comforts of home. We didn't have any of that. We got home, but we didn't have any of that. So I told my wife, I'm worrying about all this stuff tomorrow. I'm just glad to be home. So I built me a fire in my fireplace, closed the door, little glass deal there. The fire was burning pretty, it's starting to warm up, and I can just worry about my troubles tomorrow. You can't fix them tonight anyway. So all that stuff, I'll just worry about it tomorrow. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I just look at that fireplace and just pink. And the glass just falls out of my fireplace. And the fire's there roaring and the glass just fell out on the floor. And I'm like, uh-uh. Now I got to put the fire out. Trouble. Trouble. Troubled on every side. But not distressed. I still have victory. I know troubles. I know there's all kinds of troubles. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure I did. But I'm going to tell you it anyway. That's a good time to say, praise the Lord. Well, the next day I was very busy with stuff and the Lord was dealing with me about things. And the Lord says, do you know why you have trouble with water lines in your house? Why? Because you have a house. Do you know why that you have sick children sometimes? Why? Because you're blessed with children. Oh. And when I got down to the end of it, I can't be disturbed unless I have something to disturb. I can't have my life threatened unless I've been given the great opportunity to have life. When you really look at it, folks, you can't be troubled without the blessings of God that gave it to you to start with. So the proper place for the Christian attitude is thank God. Thank God for my home. Thank God for the fireplace. Thank God for what I have. Thank God that it is. It reminds me of something. Lord, I can't keep the glass in the fireplace. I can't keep the water from freezing. Honestly, Lord, the truth of it is, without you, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. I think I can do some things and then I forget something. I do some. Troubles always catch up. I'm troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. But it's God that gave it. And that's the way God wants His saints to face trouble. Troubleshooting manual. Praise the Lord. Thank God for your blessings. Face troubles with your shoulders up and your head up high. Face your troubles like there's a God. Like there's a God. People of faith believing in God. So often we do our things and then we go and don't show by our actions that there is a God in heaven whom we believe in. That this is just of this earth anyway. And God wants us to trust in Him. God can take care of our troubles and every one of them, I believe. Look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. This is 2 Corinthians 12. Very familiar scripture, Paul writing. Oh, let's see. Pick it up. No, I'll just pick it up at 1. 12 and 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Well, looks like you got some more trouble, Paul. Got you a thorn in the flesh. Nobody wants a thorn in the flesh. And Paul absolutely didn't want his, because he done the reasonable, right thing to do with a thorn in the flesh. Messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above my measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I think that the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh that that he felt like, looking at it naturally, that it was a hindrance to the work of God. I don't think he had a mind here that this was important because he couldn't make the right kind of investments or couldn't build a kingdom here. It was, because that would be totally out of the nature of what he's talking about. He was talking about the fact that he thought it was hindering the work of God. Something was hindering him from being able to accomplish. And he had this impediment of some kind. He had a trouble. He had a trouble in his life, and he felt like to get rid of it. I've done those kind of things before. Lord, I feel like that this would be better if I could do this, but I'm not seeing clearly. Paul wasn't seeing clearly yet either. I'll get rid of it because it's hindering me in some way in the work of the Lord. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul, what I'm doing for you, I got it written in the 107th Psalm. I don't want you guiding your own ship. I don't want you steering your own way, Paul. I don't want your strength to be what you're riding on. It'll fail you. It'll fail you. Your strength will run out. Your capability will run out. Your wisdom of things will run out. You may have a great mind from memory, but I'm going to tell you, it takes more than that. There's a lot of things. Paul said, I can do all these things. I got a mind. But the Lord said, no, Paul. I can do it. But I'm going to be faithful to you with trouble. If it would take trouble to get you to heaven, would you want trouble? Well, of course. Give me trouble. What would it take to get me to my wit's end and quit running my own show? What would it get me to understand that God is in control of the storms too? What would it do to make me to put me in the place till I have the right mind about things and to understand? You know, it's real hard to humble yourself before the Lord and not be humble before people. Wouldn't you say as soon as you humble yourself before the Lord, you're automatically humbled before people? This getting to the wit's end, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to stick your chest out and pretend like you're somebody after you've had troubles. After you've had troubles and realized who you really are. Boy, it's tough. That's not just true if you don't take the troubles right, though. Troubles can embitter you, make you hard. But Paul said of his trouble, he said, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Weakness, inability, not capable. Lord, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I don't have the strength to do it. Most gladly, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. But this is wonderful. What I was trying to shun and get rid of is a treasure to me. It's so valuable to my life because I am perpetually weak and I'm relying on God. I think anything you do for the Lord, you have to be weak in because it's God's strength. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This next verse is a challenge, and I hope we're all challenged by it to consider. But he did say this. It's in the Word of God. Paul said it. I think he meant it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. But he said something about me. But they ain't talking bad about me. People ain't showing me the right kind of respect. Paul would say, thank God. To say, I take pleasure in seeing how God can do something. I speak from a ministering point of view. I've seen times that the Lord wanted something more out of me than I could have delivered as a minister. And I, on a number of occasions, I'm thinking of one particular right now. It was in Wisconsin. That this particular Sunday morning was a big crowd at a tent meeting, and the Lord was desiring spatial anointing for those people. And so my little boy gets high fevered and sick, and he's over in the trailer saying, "Daddy, pray for me." And I'm there pulling between a sick little boy and a camper and a tent full of people waiting for the preacher. And I got in such a state, I couldn't think of what to say at a service. I couldn't think of how to preach. My thoughts fell out of line, and I was worried about my little boy. And I said to the Lord, "If you want a preacher today, you better do the preaching. Because I ain't got nothing." Which is exactly what he wanted. And when I got up into the pulpit, totally empty and saying totally in my heart, "Lord, if you don't do something here, this is going to be a disaster." It was like it opened up totally. I had to take a breath to even say the word. It was coming so fast, so hard. It preached so free and so light. When I got through with the message, it wasn't unusual to me. And a little bit after that the Lord touched my little boy and he was totally better. But the Lord was calling for something more. And had to get me to a place to be able to receive that kind of anointing. Understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm accurate with it. It's the way I've seen it in my experience. When the Lord sent trouble, that I could get to my wit, my wisdom's end, my understanding's end, my capability, my ability's end, that I can make more fully trust God rather than myself, my own capability and way. And the Paul gets it in such a dose of revelation here, realizing that this thing that seemed to hinder him was not his hindrance, it was his anointing. It was the power of God on him. It made him a much more dynamic instrument of God. And that's why he said, "I take pleasure in it. I take pleasure in these things that forever keep me humble before God. I want to be right before the Lord." Troubles are just a part of life, but they can be an instrument right to the presence of God. If we allow them to be that and realize how human we are, I can't take care of it. So I try to get my license and the DMV just keeps messing it up. It's called trouble. But God knows how to deal with them people too. God can make a glory out of them. God can surpass things, go around things. God has raised people's slates before when they've done that. They've done all kinds of things. God can do that. It's called trouble, but it sure shows God. So the apostle says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities." I don't have something that I need, a necessity. Well, lo and behold, there was a prophet. He come to a widow woman. And basically said, "Serve a prophet." And she said, "Nothing to serve him with. I got a little handful of meal. And I got a little bit of oil. And I got 2 sticks. And I'm going to light the 2 sticks. And we'll make a cake. Me and my child's going to eat the cake and we're going to die." And said, "No, you feed the man of God first." Necessities? Don't have anything? Necessities? And here's the hand of God. We want to see miracles. Takes trouble. You see, go and find me a miracle in the Bible that isn't linked to a trouble. You can't find one. Children of Israel cross the Red Sea. And here comes the other side. That's trouble. You want a miracle? there's some trouble. Got some trouble waiting for you. Out there, and all those people out there hungry, it's called trouble. All those 5,000, they're going to faint away. It's called trouble. Necessities. God meets the necessity. There's been people without jobs that needed jobs. Necessity. It's called trouble. Who do we look to? Well, we try to do our wit. We try to do our wit. We do our things. I've seen the saints turn at wit's end and call on God. And God provide where there's nothing to provide. Keep it where there's nothing to keep. But trouble led the way into the blessedness of the Lord all the way through. Trouble. Oh, trouble's all the way around. You'll have troubles. I'll prophesy to you. This next week coming up, everybody in here is going to have trouble. It's not a hard prophecy. You're going to have trouble. One way or the other, you're going to have troubles. You might make big troubles out of little troubles. You might make little troubles out of big troubles. But you're going to have troubles. And the best way to face troubles is with the Lord. Is with the Lord. Say, Lord, help me through this trouble. So the apostle goes on and says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He found the power through troubles to have the power of God with him. I am becoming full in glorying. I am becoming full in glorying. Glorying in my infirmities, in my problems. I imagine there was a lot of people would have probably looked at him and said, strange sort of feller, isn't he? Talking like that. That's kind of a strange way. But you know what it explains out to me? Victory. Victory. He had victory in his troubles, in his trials, in the situations that come in life. It registers victory. Lord, help us today. I, by nature, am a complainer. I'm a complainer. I complain about, I don't like the troubles. And I'm going to tell this story again. Been a couple years ago now. I went through a time to where it just, all these things was happening. Just happening. Just these little things, out of the ordinary little things just kept happening. Trouble. Like I was being attacked by a diabolical mind, giving me these little troubles all the time. One of them was, I was putting, you know, these guys are full of these shovels, or these showers. You got this deal that goes on, you got these two long screws that goes back in there, covers around the shower deal. And I had to get me a screw. I didn't have the right screw. I had one, I needed two. And so I took the one that I had, and I was going to make sure it was the right screw, and I needed to get me a screw. So I was going to make sure that and thread it in, and when I went to thread, and I actually thought before, there is no way that a screw this long is going to pop down in there. Because if it fell down in behind that shower, there's no way I'm going to get it. And there's no way that it can, because there's only this much space, and that thing's about that long to get back on in there. There's no way to do it. And I just went like this, and when I dipped, it went down in there. And I'm like, somebody did that. I mean, trouble. Just trouble. And my inside me was like, man. Now what am I going to do? Just endless things like that. Over and over. And finally, I got to wit's end. I was being tormented and I didn't know. I recognized it. This is torment. And I said, I was praying, going along, and when I was going along, things were still going wrong. I was just going, and I finally said, Lord, now this ain't what you intended. This is miserable. What do I do about it? Troubleshooting. Praise the Lord. And I got it real clear. Thank the Lord. And I said, that's just what I'm going to do. And I thought, now we'll see. Something happened. I'll tell you what it was. I was out fishing and I only had one spinner left. I had one spinner left and I went to cast it and it caught on a limb beside me. It didn't break off going this way. It broke off and it caught on the limb and the limb bent back and then flipped the spinner out in the water without my line on it. Now, how did that happen? And I said, Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. I'm going to get victory on this trouble. Thank the Lord. I went that day saying, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. And in my mind, I thought, this trouble's going to end because I'm thanking the Lord. It got worse and worse. I'm going to tell you, I had 2 days of thanking the Lord, and I just said, you know what? It didn't stop my trouble, but it sure made me feel better. I wasn't going around miserable. I was just as happy as I could be. Thank the Lord. I want to see what the next thing I will thank the Lord about. I know what Paul's talking about here. There's power in it. Troubles is nothing. It's what we do with troubles. It is. It's what we do with them. Thank the Lord. Lord, you're trying to do something with me. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know what some of them, a couple did? Who was that? Paul and Silas took a whooping? What'd they do? They was thankful that they was counted worthy. Well, thank the Lord. He wouldn't just trust anybody to take a whooping like we just took. That we just got to do something for Jesus. He died for us, and we get to take a little whooping for him. That's nothing to do. So it just kept going. That day, I was riding down this trail. Like I said, we went fishing. And what's the odds of doing this? But I was going down to there, and my fishing pole flips off, and I run over the fishing pole and break the reel. On my fishing, I'm like, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. On I went a little bit farther, and my bicycle come apart. It was like a 10-speed or something, and the gears went totally apart. And I'm going to tell you, a bicycle's nice, but if you ride them, they're nice. I was away off and had to push it. Now, pushing a bicycle is a detriment to you. All this stuff happening, you know what? I had victory. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I don't know what's next, but thank the Lord. I want to have victory in my life. Thank the Lord. Next day, the fishing pole. I'm going to go back and take off where I started off before. This big gold trout was out there. I saw it. And I said, man, I'm going to catch that gold trout. Cast out there a couple times. Finally throw out there. And man, that thing took at it. And I went to set the hook and broke a fishing pole. On a fish, I snapped the pole. I broke them in the windows or in the door of the car, but on a fish, and I'm trying to pull with the end of it, and the fish is still on there, and I'm trying to catch the fish, and then it gets off, and I broke the pole. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. What can you say about troubles? There's a design on troubles, folks. It really is how we face trouble. We're all bound for trouble. But God wants us, His people, I believe more than now, to be a people that can go straight forward through the things of life, trusting the Lord and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've been so good. What you've done, none of these things will compare. I think the scripture brings that out. These things, Paul said in one place that these things, he said, my light affliction. You read what he went through, but he called them light afflictions. Because he compared it with the glory that was waiting for him. When he compared it to the things that he had coming, he said, these light afflictions, which is but for a moment, they're going to give me a much farther and greater weight of glory. It means nothing. They're just troubles. The house will leak, or the water will leak, or something will happen, or something will break, or you'll knock something over, or something will happen. And it's called trouble. But in the trouble, Lord, help us to get to that and be in that place that we can say, thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to be able to live this life for you. And these little bit of troubles that we're going to have in life, I'm going to say, I don't want to minimize anybody's troubles. Some things for the human condition are very, very hard. Death is a hard trouble to go through. Persecutions, pain, afflictions, some of those things can be very hard to go through. But I'm going to tell you, where I have seen God shine the most is in those places. I'm going to tell you, seeing a saint die is a great experience. And I don't mean that to sound, but I'm honestly, the ones that I've seen come down to that end, and you're watching, how's God, what's God going to do? How's this going to work? And they have victory. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Lord, help us live this life with victory. You pray for me.